everyone, and welcome back to Phone Show Chat, the podcast where we talk about phones and more phones and more phones. Actually, today's show, we're going to be talking, we'll meander a bit away from phones probably now and again. Joe's with me as always. Hello, Joe.
How you doing, Ted?
I'm all right. Are you all right?
Yeah, I'm very good. I'm very good. I had a day off yesterday, didn't I?
You had a day off? Oh, nice.
Yeah, because Sam, it's Mother's Day in America yesterday, so no mad tech project yesterday, so I had the day off.
Right. Okay. And with us again, reappearing, is Jim Fowle. Hello, Jim.
Hello, Ted. Hello, Joe. I take it you're both well.
Yeah. Well, I was just checking back to see when you were last on, and it seems to be January. In fact, January the 12th. And on that show, we were talking about all sorts of things. Interesting. It's always interesting when you come on, because you love buying stuff that no one else does. And so it makes for a good show.
I've definitely gone more that way. If it's more unusual, the better. I seem to shy away from flagships unless there's one going cheap on PSC classifieds these days.
Yeah, definitely. That's really good. The furniture of the show is that our website is. Do I need to say this? I mean, for goodness sake, I can't imagine for 1 minute anyone listening to this doesn't know where our website. Right, okay, we'll do it anyway. Phoneshowchat.uk. Two S's in the middle. MeWe Group is where we hang out, and we hopefully encourage you to as well, and we chat about all sorts of stuff which we feed into the show. TedSalmon.com is where to go if you get lost, and PodHub UK is where you'll find it all as well. So that's about it, really. Let's get straight into it. And
just quickly, this is show 894.
Oh yeah, well done. It's the 11th of May. Nobody noticed last week that I put the 24th of May into last week's show in the RSS instead of the 4th of May. Not a soul mentioned it, so obviously no one listens anyway. So the 11th of May it is, show 894, as you say, Joe, and let's go for it. Yeah, guest gala is first. So, Jim, since you've been on, I think, last time, we're going with the guest gala, and you can take as much time or as little time as you like. Joe and I will chip in, and if we've got time to get to our stuff as well, we can, but if not, we can always do something else with that later on or another day. So don't feel like you need to be short or whatever. Just talk about whatever you like. What have you brought to Natta about?
I've bought a few things, and I was just thinking about when you said you put the 24th into the RSS feed, because Pocket Cast just captures it for me. I'd never look, you know. No, I do look at the show notes for the links for some of the products and stuff like that, but I don't think I really pick up on the date.
I'm sure that no one does.
I definitely didn't notice.
It's still there now. I looked at it just now, and it's still there. I have corrected it in the feed, so when this show goes out, it will put it right.
It right again. I'll check afterwards for sure. Yeah.
We're not time travellers.
I think since we last spoke, I've kind of settled more into a bit of a kind of what I'm calling the ideal setup for me for now. Because I know I've mentioned previously, I always have an iPhone because of the rest of the family have got one, and we've got AirTags in various cases and bags and stuff like that, and the cars. So it's just easier to keep an iPhone on hand all the time. But what I've done this time is it's kind of swapped around. It was my primary, but now it's really is the secondary phone. So I've moved out the iPhone 15. I'm trying to sell that to my son, but he wants a big discount, so we'll see. But and I bought myself an iPhone 13 mini because I wanted something a bit smaller. So that's all good, and that takes care of the iPhone bit. So, you know, and it was purely to get the smaller size phone for carrying it as a secondary. But that's kind of what I think has done this time. It's given me a lot more freedom to kind of whiz through different Android phones, if you see what I mean. So the Android phone's my primary now, and that's kind of open, because an iPhone's an iPhone, isn't it? but you know, it does what iPhones do. Yeah. Whereas with Android, I know, you know, Android does what Android does, but it's different, isn't it? In different platforms and different shapes and sizes of phones and stuff like that. So I think I've hit upon my ideal setup from now. Mm-hmm. Just have a small iPhone, the iPhone 13, and whatever Android phone I happen to spot in PSC classifieds at any point in time.
Okay.
Yeah, so since deciding on that and really running with that, I've had a few phones come my way, and I find that I don't seem to buy phones anywhere else anymore, unless it's a Kickstarter. But apart from PSC classifieds, they all come from PSC classifieds these days. And notifications have started working on MeWe, so I get to jump on some of them quick because that, before they disappear. So that's good as well. They never did work, the notifications on MeWe, but now they have started working.
I don't know why that is. Lots of people say that. And, you know, I've been on MeWe since 2018 when we came over from Google Plus, and I have never, ever once had a problem with notifications. Now, granted, I'm the inverted commas owner of the groups, and I do have everything turned on, but I do think that lots of people that don't get that and that complain about not getting notifications don't really know where to go to make sure that all the switches are on. That may not be true of you, but I think that is true for some people.
Yeah, I don't think I changed anything. Like I say, it's just started. I still don't get any notifications on chat messages, direct chat messages. But I think, you know, you mentioned that you have to be following people. I don't seem to get them on people that I am following either, which is a bit surreal. But it might be because I swap phones every 5 minutes.
Check your settings.
Anyone else listening
that has got this problem, check your settings. Click on your little face in the top right-hand corner. I'm talking about on the web, of course. But if you go into there, and then you click on the account settings, and then in there you can see all your preferences, notifications and alerts. Turn them all off, turn them all on, do what you like. So there you go.
Out of interest, Ted, is it on the device or is it cloud-based? Because I noticed every different phone you get, you have to go in the settings and redo them again.
That depends on whether you set it up or not. So if you do a backup restore from your last phone that has been set up, depending on which phone it is and where you're copying from and to, all of those settings should be saved. I do accept that in some combinations of setting up new phones and using backup restore, they don't survive, but most, they are getting better, and very few times now I have to actually go in to MeWe settings and do anything in terms of what's on the phone.
Best to check just in case, because I'll give you an example. On Instagram, as standard, it's set to upload in lower quality. It's really frustrating because I always forget to change it.
Right. Well, as I say, I think it depends. If you went from Honor to Honor and used their clone tool, I bet you that would survive. But it certainly would if you went Samsung and used their tool, and Google. But your mileage may vary. Sorry, Jim, we hijacked your slot.
No, that's no problem. It's always good to have a chat about the wonders of MeWe. It's kind of my favourite place now. I don't really go anywhere for phone stuff. In terms of phones, so the first phone I managed to bag that was a little different for me was the CMF Phone 2 Pro. And up to that point, I hadn't really had any Phones by Nothing or CMF, which I believe is their sub-brand. So when I saw that ad, I jumped on it straight away because it wasn't expensive at all. I think it was about £150, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
But, you know, the impression I got of the Phone 2 Pro, it was a low to mid-range device, only 128 gig of storage, which is, I know we discuss that regularly, it's a bit low, but it still doesn't really seem to be a problem for me at the end of the day. But to be honest with you, I really liked that phone. I really liked the hardware design of it. It was totally different and out there comparing it to the normal kind of mono slab that everybody else is doing. And the icon set. I really did like the kind of CMF icon set when you turn that on and you got that kind of black and white feel. Yeah. And I know it didn't run throughout the device, but, you know, I didn't really mind that. So, because, it, and it was, it's probably one of the first phones I had. It was a bit more fun than anything else. Mm-hmm. So,
did you have the orange one like mine?
No, I think it was the sand. It's sandstone and white. Okay. I think it was white and sandstone. If I've got it on the shelf, I should turn around and look at it, shouldn't I? Really? Yeah, it's kind of like a sandstone and white effect. And the industrial look with the little screws and everything showing was it was, you know, pretty good. As you know, I'm not really into the cameras, so that didn't really make any difference to me. So, you know, it seemed to take reasonable photos for what I was doing with it, so didn't have a problem with that either. And, you know, it felt good in the hand, it looked good, and I did like the software on it. I can't remember what the operating system's called on it, though.
It's just called Nothing OS.
I did like that as well, and I did try out the AI thing. You know, it was the AI kind of memory thing, wasn't it, where you record what you're doing. You take a screenshot, record what you're doing or whatever, put something in there to remember. But the problem with that is you've got...
The essential space.
That's
essential,
it.
Yeah, yeah.
Essential space. But, you know, to make a joke out of it, essentially you've got to remember to do that, haven't you, is the problem.
It's actually not very good. I tested the essential space on a number of Nothing phones and CMF, and it really isn't very good. It needs lots of work.
Yeah, yeah. I played with it a bit and then just did what I normally did with that kind of stuff and forgot about it after a while. So, yeah. But, you know, I did have my SIM in that for a while. Didn't have any problems using it. It didn't seem to run slow or have any niggles for what I do. I don't really game on them. So, you know, if it wasn't as powerful as anything else, then I wouldn't really have noticed. But yeah, I was quite surprised that for something that cost £150, I thought to myself, if I had to, I could use that as my only phone.
And it's very thin, isn't it?
Perfectly fine, yeah.
It's very thin, isn't it, Jim?
Yeah, very thin, very light. Yeah. I didn't like the case that come with it, and that's the downside with these types of devices. Your range of cases that you can choose,
right?
Not a great deal, is there, really? They're not really kind of mainstream, so no, I didn't really see anyone making anything for it, to be honest. So, you know,
according to GSM Arena, the protection on the glass is Panda Glass.
Panda Glass?
Yeah,
never heard of that before.
Yeah, Panda Glass is the poor man's... Gorilla Glass. When I reviewed my CMF Phone 2 Pro, I looked it up and it was okay. It wasn't terrible, but it was it was considered to be poor man's Gorilla Glass.
There's another thing I can't remember. Did it take an SD card? Could you expand it? I can't remember.
Yes, you can.
So there was that then. If I'd wanted more storage, I could always pop in one of the SD cards that I tend to have laying about, not doing very much these days, because most phones don't take them anymore, But, yeah, you know, I mean, it was running Android 16. Not long after I got it, it updated to Android 16, so no problem with the operating system. But I don't really know how many more updates it'd get. So, you know, who knows? I don't know.
I think it's going to get
up to three.
It's going to get three updates of OS and 6 years of security.
Yeah. Oh, that's not too bad then, is it, really?
For a 150-quid phone, that's not bad at all.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I thought. I was totally shocked by the price, and then when it came in, how usable it was, you know, that you could do everything you wanted to do on it, basically, without any problems.
I'll put a link in the show note to my written review.
To your review, yeah.
I did go through all of that, and people can then have a read if they want to.
Good stuff.
Yeah, and so moving on from that, I mean, my SIM card pretty much stayed in that device until I spotted on the forum that Ted was selling his Motorola Edge 60 Pro. And I thought, hang on a minute, I'd like one of them. I've never really had a mainstream Motorola device, so let me have that one. Let me jump in quick and get that one. So, yeah, I mean, that, to be honest, apart from the Motorola Edge Plus that you sent me ages ago and the Motorola RAZ R50 Ultra, I've not really had a kind of what you'd say. Would you call this one a flagship, the Edge 60 Pro, or is that still mid-range?
It's mid-range.
Maybe upper mid-range.
I was thinking that, you know, because, it, I mean, reading the specs, it comes with 12 gig of RAM and 512 gig of storage. You know, that's big specs from my perspective. You're not going to be disappointed by that. And much like you did too, Ted, I copied all my video files onto it and took them on holiday with me.
Yeah,
and played it to the TV in the room if we were staying in the room for any reason.
Yeah,
but yeah. I mean, that was my first kind of mainstream Motorola phone, and initially I wasn't sure about the curved screen on it because it has got a bit of a curved screen, and I haven't seen a phone that's got a curved screen for a long time now. And but the display is just so clear on it and bright, isn't it? Like that. After a short while, it had won me over, and the battery life was just immense. I've not had a phone that lasted like that one did. I mean, while I was decorating, I was running it all day long, playing podcasts and things like that, and checking things, speaking to people on the phone, WhatsApp, all that kind of old. And still, at the end of the day and into the evening, I'd have like 45% left in the battery. It just seemed to be one of the better battery devices that I've had for a long time.
It's got a 6,000 milliamp hour battery, which is really good.
Yeah. Is it silicon carbon?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't realise that. But yeah, I mean, that does seem to be one of the kind of muscle phones in terms of battery life that you could, you know, go out all day long and you wouldn't really be worried about whether it had run out of juice or not.
Absolutely.
I added in, you know, after reading some of your posts on it, Ted, I threw in the Smart Connect software, and that's pretty good as well, isn't it? It's much like the Microsoft Phone Link was with the Samsung, with the streaming of apps and things like that. And it can't,
I can't accept that.
It better then? Is that
much
better?
Much better than Microsoft Phone Link is so basic compared to Smart Connect and Dex and all the proper desktop modes.
Yeah. But what I meant was it was the first thing I come across that had a level of functionality that allowed the kind of app stream in that. Because if you use the Microsoft one with any on a phone, you don't get the kind of app streaming and things like that.
Only with certain phones. You get it with the Surface Duo, the Samsung phones. Some of the BBK group phones now will work with apps. But certainly not all of them, no.
Yeah. And another thing, I mean, like I say, I'm not really a camera file by a long shot, and the camera is the last thing I look at on a phone, to be honest, when I'm thinking of buying one. But I've used the camera a lot lately. We took a visit into London over the last weekend, and I took a load of snapshots from the top of the Shard in London.
Oh, yeah.
And the camera on the Edge 60 Pro just seems to be a lot different to all my other phones. I don't know whether it's just the screen vibrancy. It just, any shot I was taking just looked a lot clearer on that screen. And I like the way that the wheel worked when you're zooming in and out. And I didn't even realize that it went up to 50 times zoom as well, you know, but not that the photos are great coming out of it, but it's kind of on a par with the Samsung again, where it goes up to like the 50. I think the Samsung was only 30, wasn't it? And then the Motorola went past that at 50. So,
Joe, yeah, you're the man here. It's all digital, isn't it?
Yeah, it's all digital, of course. Yeah, I mean, the telephoto performs way better than what the hardware suggests, because the sensor's very small on the telephoto, and it's only a 10-megapixel job. So I was shocked when I used it. It was actually quite nice in good light. It did come give good results, even in video.
Yeah.
Way beyond what the specs sheet would tell you. So I think it is the processing that Moto are doing is quite pleasant. It's got Pantone validated colours, which I think helps with the colours that you're talking about, which I think that's what you're alluding to as well, Jim.
Yeah, yeah. It just looked, the whole camera setup just looked a lot more vibrant on that device than any of the others. And like I say, I couldn't tell you if it was better than the Samsung Fold 6's camera or even the original Pixel Fold's camera. I couldn't tell you if it was better than those. But, you know, I just got that impression that it was from my kind of no knowledge of cameras perspective, if you see what I mean. It just seemed easier to use as well, which was quite strange.
If you're talking about the screen, though, don't forget that all of the Moto screens are really, really good. They use this P OLED tech, which we think used to be made by LG, but they're really, really bright and colourful. You know, I think personally they're better than Samsung's in many cases.
Yeah.
So Jim, Fold 6, so I think it might be the same sensor. At the least, it's the same, exactly the same sensor size. But Moto have a different f-stop on theirs, it's f2.0, whereas the Fold is f2.4. But I think the sensor is the same.
Okay, well, that's good. But like I say, I think the two things that really sold the Edge 60 Pro to me have been the screen and the battery life. It's just fantastic. Mm. And like, I've really enjoyed using that a lot, you know, a real lot. And my main sim had been in it ever since Ted sent it to me after I bought it off him and he sent it over. My sim stayed in there. And for the first time ever, I even built a home screen with widgets, and I've never really done that before. I might have played around with the odd one or two, but the screen was so good, I actually set up a home screen full of widgets for the various things that I needed to see during the day, you know, like to-do lists from my wife and things like that, obviously, so I can check off and make sure I've done everything. But, you know, there was, up at that point, I couldn't see anything that was going to tempt me away from the Edge 60 Pro until I went and looked at PSC Classifieds again, unfortunately. Or fortunately, for whoever's selling the device. And that's where I spotted my phone of the moment, which is the original Google Pixel Fold. I bought that from Paul Waggett. Yeah, so I saw his advert and I jumped at the chance. I thought, I really wanted to get a Pixel, and because Ted talks about using the beta software and trying out the beta software, and I thought I'd like to have a go at that. And initially I thought to myself, I'd like a Pixel 10 Pro Fold, but they're just too expensive. You know, I like to spread my money about a bit at the moment and buy some more obscure, you know, the phones that are a bit cheaper for something a bit different. And I found the Pixel 10 Pro Fold was probably more than I'd want to spend at the phone at the moment. So when I saw Paul's advert, I jumped on that and I thought I'll go back to the Pixel Fold, because I did have one originally. That was the Pixel Fold that did the rounds, Ted, wasn't it? Is that the one you've got, or have you got a different one?
I've got a second one. The original one that we were bouncing around between us, Steve Litchfield actually bought right back in the day, and that was bouncing around between us, and somebody else ended up having that, and I bought one from someone else in the group which had got another background. So there is two kicking about, and you and I have got them.
I've probably got the original one back.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, when that arrived, I cracked on with the setup, took my main sim out of the Edge 60 Pro, which was, it did pain me to take it out of that one, I will admit, and pop it into the Pixel Fold. But, you know, after using the original Fold for a while, it made me realize how much I did like the kind of folding passport size screen form factor over the kind of Samsung thinner screen.
Yeah,
the Samsung's all right, but you know, the passport book style, definitely a lot better in my opinion as well. You know, I know I agreed with you, Ted, that you thought it was that a better kind of layout for it.
Mm-hmm.
And reading your retrospective on it, I totally agree that the passport style form factor is a lot easier to type on, and it just is because it's wider, and it's much easier to type on the front screen than it is on the Z Fold 6.
Yeah,
you know, and I'm really looking forward to see what Samsung are going to do with this rumored Galaxy Fold 8 wide.
Mm-hmm.
Is it still a rumor, do we think, or is it more or less definite?
I think it's...
Yeah.
Go on, Joe.
I was going to say, probably going to say the same thing. I think it. The rumours are pretty solid, so I think it is going to happen. Most of the Samsung rumours tend to be ring true, don't they?
Yeah, yeah. So that will be interesting to see, just for something that's in that form factor with a bit, you know, more modern specs and maybe a bit longer support on it. But I suppose it'll be priced out of this, you know, out of the universe for the first 6 months to a year. I'll be waiting for PSC classifieds again.
And it looks like everyone else is going to do it now as well, which is the other interesting bit, is that, you know, if you can pick up an original generation Pixel Fold at this point, you've got something for well under 500 quid, which everyone else is going to be paying this year and next year for their Apple, Samsung, whatever it is. They're going to be paying like $2,000 and maybe more for. So it's a bit of a bargain.
It definitely was, that's for sure. Joe, I mean, you've got the Motorola Fold now, haven't you, as well?
Yeah, I have, yeah.
Now, what's the aspect ratio on that? Is that more Samsung Z Fold-like, or is it kind of a bit wider than that?
Yeah, it's more like the new... Obviously, it's a bit wider than the new one. Let me check, because I don't actually know. Okay. I'll get back to you.
Yeah, I wondered if it was a little bit wider than the Z Fold 6.
The inside of the Razer Fold is very squarish, like the Samsung. It's not wide like the Pixel Fold original Passport, no. But the front screen, I'm not sure. Have you found it yet?
Yeah, I'm nearly there.
Okay, so I think the front screen, from memory, I think is not as wide as the Pixel Fold Passport, but I think it's wider than your Edge 60 Pro, for example. I think that's the
21x9.
Is it 21x9?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which makes it quite narrow, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's nice. It's like a normal slab phone, it feels, seems like, on the outside. Which I don't mind, but yeah, it's not really the Passport size, basically.
No.
Yeah, yeah. So it's still more candy bar-like in a way, yeah.
Which I don't mind. I don't mind.
Yeah, no, I mean, they both have their benefits, don't they? But, but in terms of with my fat thumbs and typing, the OG Pixel Fold is definitely a lot easier for me to make less mistakes when I'm typing something out.
It is on the outside, Jim, I think. That's the difference. That front screen with my Pixel Fold, I just use that 90% of the time. I don't open it up much at all. Whereas Joe, with his Honor Magic V5, he said that he opens... He's the opposite. He'll just open it up as much as he can, sort of thing.
Yeah. I mean, I'll agree with you there, Ted, because like I say, in my couple of weeks using the OG Pixel Fold now, I'm finding that I don't open it as much as I did the Fold 6.
Right.
Exactly what you were saying there. So because the front screen was thinner on the Fold 6, I tend to open it up more to do things. But with the OG Pixel Fold, I find out I'm using the front screen a bit more and then just using the internal screen when I want, you know, email or something with a bit more real estate. Totally agree on that. Yeah. As it's Android again, it does everything all the other phones do. And even though it's 3 years old, I've not noticed any slowdowns, in terms of the older. It's got one of the Tensor processors in it, isn't it, the original ones? Or is
two.
It the original Pixel Fold? Is that one of their Tensor processor ranges?
Yeah, it's the two.
Yeah. So, I mean, bearing in mind that it is 3 years old, I've not noticed any problems with it slowing down or stuttering or anything in use. So that's been quite good. But I mean, there are a few things I miss from both the Galaxy Z Fold 6 and the Moto Edge 60 Pro. And the first one is the stylus or pen. I've found lately, since in the forums we've been talking much more about pens, and I've got some of the e-ink tablets now, I use a pen a lot more than I used to. So I had got into using the Z Fold 6 with the pen as well. So obviously the OG Pixel Fold doesn't have a digitizer, so you can't really use a pen on it. So that's one thing I'm missing. And like I say, I put in the show notes that I'd written most of my notes for the show on my tablet with a pen. And then I've spent the last couple of days just transcribing those notes and typing them up into Google Docs. So when I'm getting my thoughts down, I do find it a lot more, I wouldn't say relaxing, but I find it a lot more interesting to sit there and use the pen to write than I do anything else. So, yeah, so that's what I did. I wrote all my notes out, then transcribed them into Google Docs with the Galaxy S9 and a keyboard. I was using the NextDoc 360 with the Z Fold 6 and Dex to do it, but then it stopped working. Google Docs stopped allowing me to type into it in Dex mode. I haven't managed to fathom out what was going on there. So I did a lot of it on the NextDoc 360 with the Z Fold 6 attached, typing away in the Google Docs app. And when I shut it down once, and then I came back, and then I found I could no longer type in it again. So like I say, I've not got to the bottom of that, because everything else is working, just not Google Docs for some reason. So I switched over to, I've got a Galaxy S9 tablet as well that I bought off PSC Classifieds, and I typed the rest of it on that. So yeah, I finished that today. The other thing I missed was, I've not really got into using the AI stuff a lot at the moment on phones. I've been dabbling a bit, but never much. But the Moto Edge 60 Pro offered me something called Catch Up, was it, or Update Me?
Yeah.
In the Moto AI bit, one of its Moto AI functions. And I got into using that. So rather than trawling through loads of notification, I was getting that to update me on the notifications, which was quite good. And, you know, I found it really useful for catching up on things. And I am missing that as well at the moment. So they're the two things I miss. But I think what I'm finding is the pros of the OG Pixel Fold are outweighing the cons at the moment. So my SIM card's still in that, you know, and that'll hang on. Well, I guess for now, until I spot something else that I might like. And I've also got, with all the talk of Motorola again, I've got a hankering to put my SIM card back in the RAS R50 Ultra as well and give that another spin. So we'll have to wait and see on that.
Yeah, you're becoming a bit of a Moto fan.
It's kind of sucked me in. And because the screen on the Edge 60 Pro is so good, that really did swing me a lot. It's the brightness of the screen, the battery life, the software. It's been a really good experience.
That was the first device from Moto I had that had the quad curve screen, and I was blown away by that. It's just lovely. It's not waterfall edges like the early days of edges. It's just very, very subtle, and it just falls over the edge. And the best thing for that is swipes from the edges, and particularly from the bottom. It works really, really well.
And in terms of the pens, I know the Z Fold 6, the Galaxy Z Fold 6 pen's a lot thinner than the others, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, it's quite a lot smaller. But even though it was a bit harder to use, I found that that didn't really cause me a problem either, so that was quite good. But I am definitely into using a pen to write at the moment. Maybe there's something to do with retiring, and I don't really need to go near a keyboard that much anymore. I don't know.
When you say you're using a pen with the Z Fold 6, are you using the little toothpick one that comes in that case that clips in the back? That's really small. I put up a post in MeWe today with a photograph of various pens, and you could see the difference between the Motorola Pen Ultra that Joe and I have got now. That is similar size to that little pick. It's not quite as small as the pick, but they go up in size, and some of them are much bigger than others. Joe's Honor Magic V5 pen, that's actually a half decent size. It's closer to an ordinary pen, but you're doing well to use that thing that's in the case on the Galaxy, I think.
I think that for me, it's because I have got the other pen, the other Samsung pen, which is a bit bigger, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like that came with the Z Fold 6 when I bought it, again from PSC Classifieds. It came with a somewhat bigger pen, and then when I ordered the case, I wasn't I didn't quite expect the pen to be smaller, but it is.
Yeah.
But then again, because it's in the case, I actually have it with me rather than trying to find it and thinking, what have I done with it?
Yeah, absolutely.
So, yeah, I mean, that was a big difference. If they could produce a Galaxy Z Fold that had a pen silo in it, that'd be pretty good as well, I think.
Yes, indeed.
But I don't think anyone's doing that at the moment because they want to keep them thin, don't they?
Yeah, it'll come, though. I reckon it'll come in time, particularly now that Samsung have said that they're meandering their way back to including smart Bluetooth pens again. So we'll see.
So, I mean, that's been the kind of phone experience lately since I was last on. So that's kind of what I've done. You know, there's been three phones doing the rounds here. So that's where I got to with phones. But I don't know, do you guys want to jump in or should I go on to the things in play stuff?
That is a nice selection of phones. I just wanted to quickly say I've got fondness to the Edge 60 Pro because that was my first motivator device.
Was it? Cool.
Yeah, that was my first one.
It is a cracking phone, especially with 512 gig on it. I mean, that's more powerful than most of the PCs I had throughout my working life.
Tell me about the Razer 50 Ultra, though, Jim, because both Joe and I kind of play with the Razer Razer devices, the flip phones, and we end up kind of saying, yeah, this is great, really really good, but just not for us. When you fold it up, the best thing about it is that it's going to go in your pocket easily, not that you're going to use it very much on the outside. So how do you find that?
I think, on the whole, I'm in agreement. You're right. It's a bit of a novelty, isn't it? I love the thought of using it as a little pager-sized device, you know, with the little front screen, not opening it up much and things like that. And then, you know, when you come down to it, I then think to myself, my SIM's been in it for a few days, I get back to thinking, well, the other phones can do this and that and last longer. Yeah. And then I end up taking the SIM card back out and then the 50 Ultra sits forlornly on the side. But I do like having it because I do like the form factor and I did buy the Clix case for it, which turns it into a bit of a BlackBerry.
Yeah.
So, but I will admit it's not had much love lately. So maybe I should give it another spin after I finish playing with the OG Pixel Fold. But it is still here, and I've not got the inclination to sell it either. I don't know why. I think I just like that kind of BlackBerry-esque kind of pager-ish type approach. But, yeah, mm-hmm. I don't know why I don't use it more, to be honest.
Okay. But, yeah, feel free to roll with whatever you like, Jim.
Yeah, cool. So, I mean, that's what my phone history's been since the last time I was on, and there's a few other bits and pieces, not all strictly phone stuff, as you know. I bought myself a microphone for a start, and as we found out at the start, it was working earlier, and then I couldn't make it work, and then I made it work again. So that's definitely something I've got to get used to. So hopefully the sound quality might be a bit better than the rubbishy old webcam microphone I was using before.
Yeah, you sound good.
I hope that's a bit better.
Sounds good to me, yeah.
Good. So that's a win then for that. Another funny thing happened. You remember the Minimal phone?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's not had much love. I do put my SIM in it every so often and have a little tinker or sometimes just sit there and play with it while it's just connected to Wi-Fi. But finally, the case turned up for it. I can't remember when I got it originally, but I've been chasing Minimal for the case that I ordered with it for months. And then they sent me two. Both the same colour, but I've got two of them. I got away with two. It's probably because I chased them so much and maybe they thought they hadn't sent it to me. But putting the case on it gives it a totally different aspect, which has kind of made me like it even more. So I think I might have to, I don't know, it just made it feel different and even more or even better than it did without a case on it. Which
probably
is
less minimal, totally, though.
Yeah, it is a minimal case as well, yeah.
Oh, okay.
So I might give that another whirl at some point. I might stick my SIM back in it and see if I can put up with the software on it. Yeah. another thing that came in was the Welder portable keyboard, or if you look at the box, the Welder protable keyboard. I don't know if you spotted that typo.
I did, yeah. Ted. Very funny. Doesn't fill you with confidence, does it?
No, when I looked at it, I didn't notice it at first, and I thought, that says protable, not portable.
So maybe it's on purpose. Box. They was going to call it the Pro Portable.
Yeah, the Pro Table. Yeah. Pro Table keyboard. But yeah, that came in. I didn't really get a big amount of time to play with that, I will admit. I did plug a couple of phones into it, and I didn't really sit there and tweak it about. So I passed it on to you, Ted, to give it a road test.
Yeah,
so, I'll let you talk about that.
Let me do that now. I was surprised to find that if you want to buy one of these, the RRP is £699. Just for those of people that don't know, this is a mechanical keyboard, an old style mechanical, you know, clunky, clunky, clunky keys keyboard. And I think that it's designed for gamers and for retro people. And I know, Jim, that you didn't pay £699 for it because you backed it on Kickstarter. No.
Yeah.
I think you said that you paid about £250. So that made it very much different. There was part of the fun was trying to work out how to actually use it, because there's very few instructions, and the best place to get any was to go to that Kickstarter page and just kind of scour through user comments and try and get it working, you know, find out what's what with that. With Windows, it works fairly straightforwardly. It acts like a second extended monitor once set up, so you can drag Windows down onto the other screen, and the mouse can move between them. So just scroll it up and down, like you can with a smart connecting pack for Motorola. You just move your mouse around between the screens, or with any extended screen for Windows. It's very heavy. I couldn't believe how heavy it was, and it cost you about £742 to send it to me, Jim, because it was so heavy. It was over 2 kilos.
You know, I said to the lady in the shop, "I said, you sure you want me to put it on the scale?" I said, "It's heavy."
But I'm trying to work out how to get the phone's... The only phone that doesn't stretch the image when you plug it into the cable is, no surprises, Samsung. So if I plug my S24 Plus into it, it works beautifully. It kicks off Dex. The software knows what to do. It's intelligent. It just works. But any other phone I put into it, it stretches the screen. The Sony, the Motorola, the whole lot, because they act like they're dumb extended monitors, and they just don't know what to do with it. Samsung Dex does. It works out in its software that it's a 21:9 screen, and it adjusts it accordingly. It worked really well. I asked Gemma why this is, and she tells me that it's because Samsung, unlike anyone else, respect EDID, extended display identification data, and that's why it works, because Motorola doesn't, and Sony doesn't, and Fairphone doesn't, and all those other phones I've got that have got HDMI out, they just don't work properly. They just stretch the image and it looks stupid. So I'm still trying to work on that one.
Yeah, I did plug the iPad into it while it was here quickly, because that was the only thing on the desk at the time before I kind of boxed it up and sent it to you, and that didn't work with it either properly.
Right, yeah. So,
I think Apple are not respecting that either.
No, I think they've got some ironing out to do, and probably Welder with software support will be able to do that in time. But it's like any startup, really, isn't it? That, you know, I mentioned Fairphone there. Fairphone are just as bad. You know, there's all sorts of buggy stuff going on with their stuff. Anyway, no problem with the next stock kind of style of plugging it in and just making it work. But again, just with Samsung, it's worth noting that when I had the Nexstock Touch here, I had exactly the same problem with Smart Connect and Motorola. Sony, funnily enough, worked and it did the screen properly. That was fine. But anyway, you know, your mileage may vary. So, but yeah. in the process, you kudos to Sammy really for getting it right. There's no speakers on it, which I was quite surprised about, because I guess I was thinking that I was coming from a Nexstock type experience, but no, there's no speakers on it. It's very bare bones compared to a Nexstock. Although my Nexstock Touch didn't have Bluetooth either, but some of them did. So your mileage may vary again with whatever thing you're going to be plugging into it, but it certainly hasn't got speakers. The Nexstock speakers, frankly, were a bit ropey anyway. So you could argue that you're better off letting the sound go through your phone that you've got connected, particularly if it's a Samsung with good speakers on it. But it's all wired. There's no Bluetooth, which is why I mentioned the Bluetooth. There's no Bluetooth connectivity at all. What you need to do is you need to connect your Bluetooth peripherals to your phone, essentially. Use the phone speakers. You hook up your mouse to the phone, and then use the keyboard to type with, and the mouse as a Bluetooth connection. I just don't quite get who this is for, Jim. People lugging it around with them. I mean, when you can buy, for example, the Logitech Keys to Go 2, which is like featherweight and the batteries last forever, I don't quite get why you'd want to be lugging a 2-kilo thing around with you when you're going to stay in a hotel room or something. I guess it's got to be for serious gamers or people that really, really love mechanical keyboards. And they want that experience they've got at home. It's not just about phones, of course. I mean, you can plug things like game consoles into it. Anything that you, in theory, that as long as it renders the screen properly and doesn't stretch it and make it look stupid, you can plug anything that has got an HDMI out into it. So there is that.
Yeah.
And my conclusion, Jim, was that I think I would get more mileage out of it if all the aforementioned was fixed in software, but also if the keyboard wasn't mechanical. So I've got so used to chiclet style keys on my Logitech MX keys, and I just don't like using mechanical keyboards anymore, and I'm sure you're very different, but I mean I've got 3 or 4 mechanical keyboards, including the Logitech MX keys mechanical, and they just sit here not being used. Whenever I try to use them, I get fed up with them in no time. And of course the Nexstock Touch had a chiclet keyboard as well, and it just is much nicer to use, I think. But I'm probably the wrong target person here. So that was my summary of findings on the pro table keyboard.
I also love the rant about brands not respecting EDID. It's a great one.
I didn't even know what that was until just now.
Yeah, love that.
But I with you, Ted, I'm guessing that this is more of a permanent fixture on your desk with your Windows PC. That's what I'm guessing, because like you say, with the weight of it, and I didn't expect it to be that heavy when I put into the Kickstarter, I certainly wouldn't lug that around. And like yourself, I've got chiclet keyboards on this desk here, and I've got 1 or 2 mechanical keyboards that I don't use. I like using them, don't get me wrong, but the rest of the family tend to moan about the noise.
So maybe it wasn't a typo, it's a pro table keyboard monitor.
Yeah, true. Maybe that is why it says pro table and not portable.
Anyway,
it was deliberate and by design.
Really interesting to have a go with it, though. And I'll keep, while you're not needing it back any minute.
I'll keep
checking for software updates and what have you, and check the forum and check the Kickstarter pages. Yeah, I think you're right. If you can use that second monitor in front of your Windows computer for dragging stuff to, for example, I'm sitting at the moment looking at my computer and I've got one big window open with our recording notes in it, and I've got three separate windows with monitoring what's going on with Microsoft Teams and my two recording applications. Well, all three of those other things, they could be sat on that display on my keyboard. And I could be using the whole of my screen for the recording notes. So, yeah, you can make it useful, certainly for Windows.
Yeah, definitely. I'd see much more that view just from, like you say, from the weight of it. It just sits there with your PC, and it's an extra monitor if you're short on space, I suppose. Yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Cool. Definitely.
Very nice.
Yep. So, moving on to that, another thing in the house that it was my birthday recently, and that's when I hit 58, which was last week, funnily enough. So I've just hit 58 myself. But my wife bought me a Books Go Color 7 tablet. I think everybody might know, I'm heavily into the e-ink stuff at the moment, and I've got a number of e-ink devices. But I wanted one of these, the 7-inch colour e-ink, because I tend to read magazines on the e-ink tablet. So I've been a long-time subscriber to PC Pro magazine. I can't even remember when I started doing that. It was back in the mists of time, probably 30 years ago when they started. But you get an app to read that on, and it just seems a lot easier. I mean, even though it's more vibrant to read on an iPad or a Samsung tablet, it's a lot easier to read on one of these e-ink. So I've got the 10-inch color. I've got the Books Note Air 4C, which is a 10-inch color e-ink. And then while I was on holiday, I was trying to read the magazine on that. And when you're sitting around on holiday and you've not got a table or anything, it's too heavy. I discovered that was too heavy. So I, you know, people didn't know what to get me for my birthday. So I went for a Books Go Color 7. And yeah, I mean, that works really well. It's just like a smaller version of the Books Note Air 4C, really. So but that come with a stylus, Ted. I've got the stylus edition, so another one that I can write on, and that is a full size pen.
And
the little pack I got with it came with the case as well. I thought I'd get it all in one so I won't damage it, and again, it's turned up with no loop or anything to put the pen in. It's going to thoroughly rely on me remembering to pick the pen up.
The case looks nice, but there's nothing there, is there?
So I might have to invest in a different case that has a pen loop on it or something, so I don't lose the pen. With the Note Air 4C, the pen magnetically attached to the side of the tablet, but with this smaller one, it doesn't attach. But I am heavily into the e-ink stuff. I still agree that the Big Me phone's unusable because it's just too slow.
I just wanted to chip in that I actually got the Books Color Go 7 second generation a few months back. I think I reported it on Tech Addicts, and I was really disappointed and sent it back. And the reason I was disappointed was because I'd never seen a colour e-ink display before, and I just thought it was washed out and wishy-washy and horrible, and you couldn't see it, and it was so muted even on full brightness. And I sent it back. I thought it was really, really different to the black and white ones, and I was not impressed at all with the colour.
It is totally different to the black and white ones because it has another layer for the colour pixels.
Yep.
And that kind of, like you say, it mutes, because it has to have the two layers, the black and white and the colour, it kind of mutes the screen. But I've got used to that now, because you are right. The black and white ones are a lot better in contrast and so on. But yeah, I've got used to the colour one now, and I like the muted colours. I must just be weird.
How about compare? You talk about Big Me there. How about compared to Next Paper?
Next Paper, yeah. I've still got the Next Paper 11 tablet and the what was it? The 50 Pro, wasn't it? The Next Paper 50 Pro. So I've still got both of them, and I do like them as well. But there is something about the proper e-ink screens that's different, that appeals to me.
Okay.
I think from a next paper perspective, they'd have to do a lot more work on their pens, because the 60 Ultra, I couldn't get on with the pen on it.
No, it's terrible.
Because, you know, like, when you lent me the 60 Ultra, didn't you, for a while, and I couldn't get on with the pen, and I found it infuriating that it kind of, because of the magnets, like you said, it's got magnets in it for wireless charging and that. And I couldn't get used to writing on it with the pen.
No, it's not for wireless charging. The magnets are only in there, really, for the case stuff. It's really annoying, because they don't need it. They really don't need the magnets in there.
That 60 Ultra would have been literally the perfect device if it didn't have those magnets in it.
Yes,
I think.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, the other thing with the books is, compared to something like the 60, I think that the tablet is quite cheap, isn't it? It's not 400. I think it was only 270 quid or something.
Yeah.
So I don't know what the 60 Ultra goes for. Was that new 450, something like that?
499. Well, I got it on a special for 419. But, yeah, the proper price is 499 with the pen.
And with it being a bit of a bigger tablet, it's easier to read on it. I mean, I've got Kindle as well, but I couldn't get the computer magazine on the Kindle, or I'd have probably just done that. So, But yeah, I do like the e-ink, and I wish they'd come out with better e-ink phones, or it may be the 70 Ultra, and they take out the magnets and the pen supports better on next paper. Yeah, that would be really good as well.
My 60 Ultra and my 50 Pro actually are currently with Steve Nutt, who is assessing them for accessibility stuff. And just a bit of quick feedback while on the fly here. I wasn't prepared for this, but I'll tell you anyway. He's started to assess that, and he said that they work pretty well, to be honest, and TalkBack is responsive on them. So I'd say it's pretty good. And the only thing that he said that was a problem was that he found a conflict on the TCL phone, is that if you want to do the three-finger slide-up gesture for TCL-sighted people, it conflicts with the TalkBack uses, because TalkBack uses three-finger slides for other stuff. So he said that's the only thing that he's got a problem with. On the good side, though, as soon as I turned on the phones, they actually said, to turn on voice broadcast, hold down the volume keys. And he said that, you know, he'd not come across that on other phones. It actually, as soon as you turn it on, it gives you the voice prompt for people that have got not sighted to kind of get stuck in. So Steve will be coming back on the show to do all of that stuff in a month or two, and we'll get some proper feedback on those next paper devices, Jim.
Yeah, that'll be good. I look forward to that one.
Mm-hmm. Okay, what else you got?
Hopefully not much more. But yeah, another thing, I've put in a little section called Things on the Way, hopefully, as you never know when you back something like these things, do you really? I was intrigued by something called the side phone. And the reasoning behind that is I've always been on the lookout for a kind of dumb phone that you could use as maybe a primary phone with a bigger folding phone as a secondary. It's something in that ilk, right? But the problem I've got with dumb phones is that everybody I know in the entire universe, well, it's all right, 90% of the people I know in the entire universe use WhatsApp. So it's got to support WhatsApp, or I'd just cut out of the loop completely. So I'm one of them people that need WhatsApp, probably wish I didn't, but everyone uses it. So the side phone is kind of a small candy bar in the style of the old Nokias, and it comes with, it's kind of modular in a way. So the front plate you take off, and you can have a kind of iPod-like rotating trackpad, even though you can't slide your fingers around it really is only directional. You can have a T9 keypad or a kind of semi QWERTY keypad as well that they used to have on the old BlackBerry Pearl type models.
And Sony Ericsson as well.
Yeah, yeah. So you can get so you know, you get the different style of keyboard, and you can sideload WhatsApp and other things. So it's kind of locked down, so it's not fully, you don't get the Google Play Store, but you can sideload a short range of apps, and they have included WhatsApp. So I thought to myself, I ummed and ahed over it for a while, and I found my hankering outweighed my umming and ahhing, so I actually put my money where my mouth is and ordered a side phone with the extra.
Not 700 quid.
No, it wasn't 700. I think it was I thought I, because maybe I got in a bit earlier then. Didn't pay 700. I can't remember. I should have wrote it down. I can't remember off the top. I think that shocked me at the moment these days, spending 700 on a phone.
Orders a day, it says, 189 quid. I must have been thinking about something else.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm sure it wasn't that much. Yeah, yeah. And I think I paid 30-40 quid for the extra keyboard, the SureType one, because that doesn't come in the box, obviously.
25.
25, yeah.
I've heard you call it a pub phone, and I noticed you can get Uber on there as well, which is, when you're drunk from the pub, you can order yourself an Uber. So.
I normally walk home if I'm doing that. I don't think
that's probably for the best.
And then I wonder how I got home, because I can't remember.
It looks nice, though, Jim. It looks like a really interesting device, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it does look very interesting, and it's got WhatsApp and a few other bits. And I'm just intrigued to see if I could get back with what we're calling a semi-dumb phone, I suppose, because you can put WhatsApp and a few other apps on it, right? So it doesn't really take you out of the loop. The last phone I had in that style was I bought the Cat S22 Flip, and that was a bit too slow, a bit too clunky. It only had 64 gig on board, which, you know, not a lot of memory for doing stuff, and I think it only had something like 1 gig or 2 gig of RAM, so it made it not very useful. So I'm hoping this one does that, and I think I did check in to see whether it does hotspot or not, and it does, so hopefully I'll be able to use it for that as well. And indeed I it will do the PSC rounds, because I'd like to hear your impressions on it as well. So we get Joe to use it as well, see if he can put the Motorola Razr Fold down.
I'd have a play with that, definitely. On the website, it says a premium dumb phone with high quality essentials, which seemed quite accurate.
Is there any projection on when you'll get it?
Yeah, I should get it in June, apparently. Okay. So next month, in fact. Yeah, should get it next month.
Cool.
And you'll be pleased to know that the last thing that I've got in my list of things to talk about is the Klix Communicator.
Ah.
So, I mean, that came out prior to the Titan II Elite, so I will admit I thought Klix Communicator, I want one of those, and I jumped on it straight away. So, you know, I still love the QWERTY keyboards, and I'm hoping this will scratch that itch, because, like I say, I've got the minimal phone, I've got the Titan II itself, which I do play with occasionally, but it's too big. It's just too big.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping that when I get that, that may scratch that kind of QWERTY itch. And I do hanker back to the days of BlackBerry. Not particularly for the BlackBerry software, just for the style of device. So I am still one of those mad people that love those QWERTY keyboards. So, yeah, I'm really looking forward to getting my hands on that one, but apparently that won't be till the end of the year, unfortunately.
We've got a news item, Jim, that we were going to cover on the show, and apparently they are saying now that in June they are working on the prototypes, and you should be able to order your communicator in the third quarter, and and shipments are going to reservation holders in quarter four. So it does look as though it is the end of the year, but it should be you know, in that last quarter. It shouldn't be into the next year.
So it'll be the US quarter four, wouldn't it? Which is essentially October to December, I believe.
I think they run
the years differently. With our quarter four here, was always January to March.
Right. Yeah, okay. So. But they are they're working on it.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to getting my hands on that one. So I did miss out on the Titan II Elite on Kickstarter. And part of me does wish I'd got in on that as well. But you know, I've been watching a lot of Shane Craig's coverage.
Yep.
For it, which is quite good, and it still seems quite chunky, doesn't it? So I'm just wondering how the Klix Communicator measures up to that in terms of chunkiness. So we'll kind of see. But yeah, I mean, that's everything I've got.
Cool.
There may be something new for next time if I'll keep my eye on PSC Classified to see what appears.
we'll take your app wrap at the moment, though, Jim. So let us know what your app wrap app is.
My app wrap app, I've got into, if I can find it, it's called Scrabble Go. And I play, you can play against bots or you can play against friends. So I tend to play against friends, and it was one of my friends that got me into it, actually. So yeah, it's just a very good Scrabble game that's online that you can play in that, you know, like something like online chess where you play a move and you just wait for the other person to play their move back. And that kind of suits my style of gaming. So I've got very into that. It is a bit annoying with adverts, the app, unfortunately. But, you know, if you look past that, it is a very good game of Scrabble to play. You know, I suppose, yeah, because you play it against other people and the bots are the computers. But I've even got my wife on it now, so we play against each other as well.
I hate Scrabble. I used to detest Scrabble in our house. My mum was really into Scrabble, and I can't think of a more boring game than Scrabble. Other than chess. Chess probably takes the biscuit.
I never learned how to play chess. Right. I don't know why. Never learned how to play.
But Scrabble is hugely popular, I know, and my late mum was really into it, yeah.
Yeah. So I enjoy that game. It is good. So enjoy it. Like I say, the ads are annoying. But if you know how to get around them, it's okay. You just close the app, reopen it, and they go away. I don't have to sit through all of them.
Yeah. I'm willing to bet I'm willing to bet that Joe doesn't like Scrabble.
Yeah, good bet there, Ted. I'm not a Scrabble fan. Sorry.
I'm starting to not like it because I'll give him a flag. He doesn't listen, so it won't matter. My mate Tony, the ex-dentist, he just kills me hands down. You know, it's like, right. I've got to beat him. I've only played about 50 games with him. He's beat me every one so far.
I used to get so bored with Scrabble that I purposely sabotaged my mum's games by purposely trying to score as little as possible.
I would just score.
Yeah, I thought I'd throw something in a little different this time, because I don't game a lot. I thought I'd chuck that in.
Jim, there'll be many others interested.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I didn't mean to poo-poo on it.
Oh, no, you didn't. Not at all. Horses for courses, for sure. That's definitely for sure. Yeah, I don't mind.
Right, Jeremy.
I'm hoping it keeps my brain active.
yeah. Well, that's not a bad idea. Jeremy Harpham is next on the PSC Pub Meets. A reminder, if you'd be interested in attending a PSC Pub Meet somewhere in the UK, please send an email to Jeremy at jeremy.harpham, H-A-R-P-H-A-M, at outlook.com. Let him know where you live, your town and your county, whether you prefer it in a pub or a coffee shop on a Saturday or Sunday or Monday or afternoon, evening, and what about travel time? Do get in touch with him and let him know. He's still plugging away at this since that one pub meet we had that Joe was sick for, and he kind of led the way. And he's at the moment he's just trying to pull that together, to see if there's enough support anywhere to get one together for a meet outside of London. London seems safe, and I think that's probably going to be going ahead. But outside of London seems to be the other issue. Gary Clark is next on his text and photos review of the Motorola Razr 60 Ultra review over at Average Dad, and he concludes that it's a seriously impressive bit of kit that manages to turn a foldable novelty into a genuine daily driver. Between the massive, fully featured external panel, the upgraded dual 50 megapixel camera array, and the smooth new Hello UI, including Update Me, it provides a versatile feel that really gives standard candy bars a run for their money. Even if the IP48 rating and hinge tension aren't quite perfect, he did actually say in his review that he thinks that he had a handed-on between reviewers device and the hinge may not be as bad as he thinks it should be. But the blend of flagship internals and smart software tweaks, ensure that this is easily one of the most refined flip-style devices you can pick up right now. And he's looking forward to doing the Razer 70 Ultra next. But I'll put the link in the show notes to that review. So you do have a read of that. All good stuff from our fellow motivator. So there we have it. Right, okay. What are we doing next? Joe, what do you want to cover?
Well, I won't talk too long. I obviously went to the 600 series launch, which was a really good event. I really enjoyed it because I got free drinks. I always enjoy drinks for free. So although the images make it look like an iPhone clone, I will say it is quite different in person. Even the orange one in colour is quite different. So I'll defend them a little bit there. but yeah. I think $899 for the Pro is going to be a tough sale, despite it being a well-specced phone. But they are launching it with £200 off, and it does come with a nice projector, a 1080p projector. So that's not too bad as a gift with purchase. I'm hoping to get both the projector and the phone and all sorts from PR at some time. But they did say that at the briefing, so... Let's see what happens if I'll ever get that. As we said, my sim is currently in the Razer Fold, the FIFA World Cup position.
Nice.
And I'm enjoying it at the moment. I would say the V5 is superior from Honor in many ways, but that's not to say that this isn't a great effort, because I think it really is a great effort from Moto, especially for their first book-style Fold. I mean, they've got a history of hinges and folding screens, haven't they? So it's not as if it's a surprise. The camera system seems to be the same as the Moto Signature from what I can see on the spec sheet and in practice, which is really good, especially for a foldable device, because I really enjoyed that camera system. If anything, it feels like a Signature in a different form factor and a bigger battery, which is good. Although I mentioned in my Signature review that the case is quite slippery, I do prefer the case with the Signature case. I think Gary said the same thing, that the case that comes with the Fold isn't the nicest. If anything, it adds a bit of bulk to it, which I'm not a fan of. There is a gap in the hinge end where you close it. Much like these old Sammy Folds used to have.
Right.
So, again, that's why I say the V5 is superior. And, I mean, it's not a major issue. It just highlights something that's a little bit behind the newer Folds, if you like.
Yeah.
It's quite a heavy one. And, like I say, the case adds even more bulk. But it does feel quite nicely weighted, and it's not been an issue for me. I think I will look for a slimmer case though, because as I say, it does add bulk, but I'm going to go for a clear case, of course, because you don't want to be hiding the lovely gold logo on there, the gold Motorola logo. Yeah, you don't buy that phone and then hide it, do you? I haven't tested the pen enough yet, or at all, in fact, so we'll have to bench that one for another pod, Ted, but it's something certainly on my agenda, because I do love enjoy playing with pens, especially with the inner screen, so we'll be doing that, and I'm keen to talk about it on here and in videos as well. And both screens are wonderful, really, really good, and the speakers seem decent, really quite decent. There's a top and bottom firing speaker. The only thing is, when you open it, they're then on both speakers are on the left hand side, unless of course you rotate the device, but when you naturally open it, the speakers are all on the left, which I think they should have made one on the right as you open it. It would have been a better decision. The crease is good, it's barely there, like all most modern foldables, and you hardly notice it in use. So yeah, first impressions are very, very solid on it. I'm really enjoying it so far. I've hardly touched the Edge 70 as a result, though, because I mean, why would you when you've got this lovely Fold? One observation though is, yesterday we went to the zoo, and I gave Saoirse my Edge 70 for her to take some pictures, because I really want to get her into photography, so I'm always throwing phones at her to take pictures, and it's a really nice size for her to handle. But what that made me think of is the use case for that thin phone. It is probably for a little lady, perhaps.
Right.
But yeah, it was really
small
good for
hands.
Her to use.
Somewhat small hands, yeah.
Although I've got small hands, so maybe it is good for me. And on that note, I do like the size of the Edge 70. It's a wonderful, wonderful size to handle. Mm-hmm. And maybe, and we'll go, I'm jumping ahead a little bit, but my pick from Classified is actually the Edge 70. And it's at £300. And it could be a good pub phone as a second phone to slip your SIM in because it's so light.
That's mad, isn't it? And they're still selling it in some places for $699. And there's a second-hand one at $300. And you can buy a new one for $494 today. So I think they really got the pricing wrong on that, Mato.
I think they tend to do it quite a lot. I think we discussed that last week briefly, didn't we? That their regular retail prices aren't quite right, in my opinion.
No.
But I think it's a strategy because they know they're going to discount it over the course of the year.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they do that to maximise profits, I guess.
Sure.
So the Edge 70 is meant to be going back on the 15th. I may ask for an extension because, two reasons really, actually. There's nothing else that really floats my boat. Maybe the Razer 70 Ultra, but they're not going to send that yet, I don't think. And I would like to do some kind of video on it, and I need more time really to use it more because I can't make a video without using it more because it's just not right. So
you've got to put the fold away.
Yeah, essentially. I think for me,
send it here, Joe. I'll look after it for you for a while.
Yeah. I think my main SIM needs to go in there really, which is going to be really tough to do. Really is. I mean, it was hard to take it out of the V5. Having sent that to you, that created a need to move it somewhere else. So maybe I should send the Razer Fold off to someone. Just quickly, I was going to ask if anyone's got anything they'd like me to cover on my channel. Please let me know, and I'll do my best to cover it. And also, I'm quite open to feedback. Feedback's a gift, and I'm only going to improve with feedback. So, yeah, you definitely drop feedback as well for me, and I'll look at it and try and improve because I want to get better at content creation, definitely. And I want to make videos that people want to watch. So I'm open to feedback.
You do well with the graphics, Joe. I like the graphics in the signature one.
Oh, did you? Oh, thank you.
It's all part of the editing, I guess, isn't it? Yeah,
it's all cap cut. It's got a lot of features in there when you pay for it, which I do.
I thought the graphics were very good. If you ever need anyone to help you review phones, I'm happy to assist. I don't think I could do a video review though, but yeah, I'm more than happy to produce a written review of a phone.
Send your
I thought you was going to be a model for like portrait mode and stuff like that, Jim.
No one would see that. Your YouTube channel would shut down within a week.
send your Edge 70 to Jim and you won't have to do it.
I'll
do it for you.
Mind you, although we've already got a written review, Jim, because I've done a written review.
All right, you've done the written, so Joe does
so
the video.
Someone needs to do the video.
Oh, not me. I'd have to be a bit braver, I think. I mean, the other thing, looking at what you've just talked about, Joe, I've never had an Honor device, you know. I think I might have to, maybe that's my next port of call, is I'll have to give an Honor device a go. I've never had one, never tried an Honor device at all.
Well, the V5, so I've got one person who wants it after Ted, but after he has had it, I could always send it over.
Oh, yeah, I'd love that. That'd be fantastic. Yeah, thank you.
Okay,
I've got a list now for the V5.
Talking of which, it is here, and I've got lots of initial observations about it, but I think we're going to run really short of time, so we'll probably sneak in an extra show to deal with that. I just wanted to cover a couple of bits of news, which first one was the Sony Xperia 1 Mark 8 release date, which they started off saying was going to be the 26th of June, but subsequently there's this event that's going to happen on the 13th of May, and Wise Money now is on, well, two things actually. Wise Money is not buying one at £1,728, but the other bit of Wise Money is on the fact that it's not going to be as late as the 26th of June for the release. And I'm also now interested in the 10 series, because this last week I bought in the Sony Xperia 10 Mark 7 from one of our lovely members in the group, and gave it a bit of a run through. I did a review. I won't cover it in great detail here, but it is a dinky, lovely little light device. It's really nice. They put the 19.5:9 screen on it for the first time, which is better than, I think it's better than the 21:9, and it just seems to work pretty well. The connectivity is good. The screen is bright and colourful. It's their triluminous screen, of course, and it's got Gorilla Glass Victus 2 on the front. Another first for the 10 series is 120Hz refresh rate, so that will please some people. It's got IP65 and 68, and also the big one, I think, is 6 years of security updates and 4 Android OS updates. So this will go from, it'll get 16, 17, 18 and 19 on Android, which is great. That's a real move forward for Sony, I think. And of course, we know it's got the clean, vanilla-flavoured Android skin. The Snapdragon 6 Gen 3, yeah, okay, it could be better. But actually, for the target audience, it's absolutely fine. It works well for the clean, vanilla Android that's on there. 8 gigs of RAM, again, the same. AI is really limited. There's a couple of mentions of AI in the specs, one of them being in the camera processing of images. And it's got a 128 gigabytes of storage. I've got my 1 terabyte card in the micro SD card slot, so that works fine as well. The stereo forward facing speakers, I was really surprised with. I thought they were really good, and I was very impressed with the output. I really thought they were going to be crap, but they're not. They're really actually very good. Not as good as my 5 Mark 5, but you know, not far behind, and I think that they've done a good job with the speakers on this phone as well. 5,000 milliamp hour battery and 30 watt charging. There's no always-on display and there's no Qi charging, which are the two things that kind of turn me off a bit. I have been playing with the Qi coil, which you put in the back of the phone, and I have been trying to work with always-on display apps to try and add that, but there's always compromises, and it takes a battery hit if it's not OEM built-in, I find. Yeah, that's a tricky one. The fingerprint scanner on the side is great, capacitive, of course. There's no face, like with all Xperias, there's no face up on it. Lift and move and nudge to wake is missing in action as well. But I think for the target audience, the audience that are going to want the camera shutter button on the side, in a position where they're going to use the phone to take photographs in portrait mode, as opposed to the Series 5 and Series 1, where very much it's going to be about a camera used in landscape for serious photographers. They put the button on the side of this much further up, and it's just obvious, and it's there for your thumb of your right hand to then hold the phone in the upright position and shoot your mates and post your pictures on Facebook or whatever, and that's clearly the target audience. It's a lovely colour, the turquoise. I can't imagine why anyone in their right mind would buy a black or a white one. I mean, it must be nuts. The turquoise one is just gorgeous.
It's beautiful, love it. That, yeah.
And it just reminds me of the old Nokia days when phones were interesting colours, or even the iPhone 5C, I think it was, where they did these plastic iPhones, and they had this lovely colour thing going on. Anyway, so that's my initial impressions of the Sony Xperia 10 Mark 7, and I will put a link in the show notes to my full written review, which is now up on my blog. So there you are, and I have to say that I went back to my 5 Mark 5 afterwards. It's not really for me, but it is it's a lovely little phone, and for the right person, it'll be just lovely. So there you go. Any thoughts? Anyone?
Yeah, I've not had a Sony phone for as long as I can remember. I think the last one I had was the Xperia that James Bond used in one of those films when Sony got the job of supplying the stuff for the Bond film with Daniel Craig in it. What was that one called? I think I've still got it somewhere.
Don't know. Can't remember. I'll tell you what I'll do. When Ed House has finished with my Sony phones and my Honor 400 Pro, I'll get him to send them to you. Then you'll have got both of those.
That'll be great, Ted. I look forward to that. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. Any other bits of news anyone wants to cover in there? There's news about the Pixel 11 series, specs are leaking, but nothing really that they've properly announced. There's also the same with the Xperia 17T and 17T Pro. What else have we got? Oh, the new Snapseed is out for Android, yeah. Which I installed on one of my phones. And as you know, I'm not much of a phone photographer, but I did look through all the options, and it did look kind of a bit interesting. Joe?
Yeah, I'm really keen to get hands-on and play with this. I don't really like the new animations and that's quite ugly if you ask me, but the actual functionality of it looks really, really great with the things they've added. Almost wish they'd launched this before I'd paid for my new Lightroom mobile for the year, but yeah, it does look really good, and I'm keen to get hands on with this because I know a lot of the media community we've got use Snapseed. It'll be interesting to deep dive into that.
Yep, we'll do that one of these days. And a couple of Android bits of news. The under-display face unlock tech might be pushed out to other devices coming along soon. And lastly, the Android 17 stable version, not the beta that I'm on, might let you finally remove the home screen search bar at the bottom on Pixels, at least. So I one of the nice things about using an alternative launcher is that you can get rid of that, and I always do. I don't particularly want it down there. So
I've got Octopi now as well. Yeah, you can remove a lot of things with that, that Google Now widget.
Actually, no, the Google Now widget, you can remove the at a glance. You can now, Pixels will let you remove that now.
At a glance. Yeah.
You can do that without Octopi launcher. Or any other launcher.
I've got into using Octopi now, so I did pay for it. I bought him breakfast.
Well done, that's good. It's really, really good. And he's really good. Responsive as well. If you get stuck into the community, he's every single day almost there's an update, and he's fixing something, and he listens to you. I've had a number of conversations with him directly and suggested something, and he's come back to me personally and fixed something, and it's really good, yeah. So I'm glad you're using it.
Yeah, very good, yeah. So it's now the default on the Pixel, OG Pixel Fold.
Yeah. Okay. Joe, anything more from you before we get to PSC photos?
Yeah, just quickly, I see you when you talk about V5. It didn't come with a front plate. It only came with a back plate for the case.
What I was saying was that I felt that the case is not that good for me because it goes round the back, but the front edges of the V5 I think are very vulnerable to knocking on things, or if you dropped it, it'll be gone. And the case that comes with the phone wraps round the back and round the hinge, but doesn't cover the front. So that's the background to what you're saying.
Yeah, so because the V3 did come with a front plate and back plate, but the V5 didn't. But actually, in use, I hated the V3 front plate. It was really annoying with swipe gestures.
Right.
So I didn't mind not having a front on it. Maybe because I didn't buy it, though. So,
yeah.
If I'd bought it, I'd probably be keen to have more protection, perhaps.
Yeah. Maybe we'll have a another in-betweeny show, Joe, to...
On the V5.
Yeah, to cover the V5, because we haven't got time today. So perhaps we'll do that next Monday, perhaps. In fact, this PSC is going to just become weekly, isn't it? Back to what it was. Right, PSC photos next. PSC Photos is an interesting little collection this time. I'm going to take for my photograph one by Ed House, which he took with my Sony Xperia 5 Mark IV, called Trees and Fields. And he did this with the 2.5 times camera, 60 millimeter equivalent. And it's a picture of some trees and fields in Suffolk somewhere. So that's really nice. If you have a quick look at that one, both of you, perhaps you can have any comments. I think what I like about it is the greens. It almost feels like Fuji Velvia greens all over, and different shades of greens. It's just very green. Any thoughts on that?
I'm going to quickly look at it on my phone.
I'm just trying to log in.
Oh, right. So, okay.
Here we go. I've got it. That's a very nice shot. Yeah. Like I say, I'm not much of a camera.
No,
it's a good shot.
That's a desktop shot, that one, isn't it?
Yeah.
A Windows desktop.
Wallpaper.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a really lovely photograph. And what Ed was saying is that he's just been surprised at the natural processing, as he calls it, of the Sony Xperia. And also this week, Steve Litchfield posted a photograph saying pretty much the same thing with his Xperia 1 Mark V. So, you know, there is something a bit special about those Sonys. But there you go. Joe, what did you pick?
So I've been a good little motivator, and I found a Moto G67 shot by Ian Furlong.
Yeah.
He's used night mode to take a picture of a snail. It really took my eye. I thought, oh, that's interesting. Because there's not many colours in there, but there's a lot of texture with the snail shell, the body of the snail, and then like the concrete floor that the snail's on, but they've got the depth of field there showing as well. He hasn't named it, so I'm going to call it Long Exposure.
Very funny. A very long exposure. I'm trying to find the plane of focus. The head seems to be pretty much in focus, and the gravel just in front of it in the shadow there.
I think that probably is.
Yeah.
I mean, it's crushed the shadows a lot because obviously it's a lower end phone, but that adds to the image on this one, I think.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Okay, thanks for that. Non-photographer as you might be, Jim, did you find anything?
I did. It's the Chaptery Memorial in Brighton by Chris Clayton.
Oh, yeah.
I just like that one because it's to me, like I say, I know nothing about photography, but it's very atmospheric. I thought it's all kind of one colour. I don't know whether it was iPhone 13 mini as well, which is a surprise, but I just like the clarity of the memorial, and then it looks like the world's whizzing by behind it. You look at like the flash behind it. I don't know how that's been achieved, but I just liked that one, stood out to me.
I'm guessing that's a long exposure,
the
movement in the sky, but it also looks possibly as though it's sepia toned or something. Knowing Chris, he'll have all sorts of toning options available to him. So, Joe.
Yeah, it's a lovely shot. That's the one I would have picked, but I'd noticed Jim had got there before me. Mm-hmm. It's a classic Chris Clayton shot. I think he uses an app, doesn't he? He mentioned it on the PSC photography podcast that we recorded last week. He mentioned it briefly then, didn't he? I think it was, did he say it's Everlong? Is that what it's called?
Oh,
something
yes.
like that.
Yeah, yeah. Ever. Yeah, yeah. Well, I'll find a link and put it in the show notes.
Yeah, so I suspect he's used that. But yeah, lovely shot. And the iPhone 13 Mini's got a good camera system. Remember, it had the same camera system as the actual 13 itself, just a smaller body.
Well, I've got one here. I've never used a camera on it, to be honest, so far.
Yeah, fair enough.
Does that inspire you then to start?
Yeah, I might give it a go, actually. Like I say, it's very much become a, like, whereas for ages the iPhone was my primary phone, but now it's taken a real back seat lately.
Cool.
Yeah, very capable.
Okay, Classifiers is next. Before we go, if you want to join our Classifiers group, then you need to email me and ask me, and we'll talk about it, because it is a closed members-only group. Joe, what did you pick?
So, obviously, phone-wise, I picked the Edge 70 from Andy Morris, because it's a lovely lightweight phone for £300. It could be for a family member or your pub phone.
Yeah.
But I did want to mention Scott McAllister's Sony A6400 bundle, because that is very good value for someone wanting to pick up a camera. That's a good choice.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Very good indeed. I picked out Ian Furlong's Samsung Galaxy Z Fold 6. He wants £500 for it. It's a 256 gigabyte version. And I don't know anything more about it, but... as Jim's on with his Z Fold 6, I thought I'd mention it and point out that it's there. Jim?
Yeah, indeed. Yeah, I did see that one, but I thought I've already got one of those, so I won't pick that.
What did you pick? So,
I recently just bought the pair of Echo Plus speakers that were on the group. It was David Hewitt.
Yeah.
So I nabbed them. But phone-wise, and someone else's money, I thought one of the two S26 Ultras, either Mark Anenes or Brendan Arntz, mainly because of the pen. I'm interested in the pen. So the S26 Ultras were my choice.
Yeah,
Brendan's one sold.
Oh, is it?
It's gone, is it, already?
Yeah.
There's only one left.
Not a surprise. I'm not going to buy it, though.
No. Well, we're here just really to point out that there's some stuff going on
classifiers
groups.
That is good stuff, yeah.
Yeah.
Like I say, I tend to do all my buying from PSC now. I wait until something I want pops in and then jump on it.
Good for you.
Just quickly on the Fold 6, Ted, it's got quite a special finish. It's the crafted black version, which is like a Amarid carbon sort of look.
Right.
Yeah, it's a lovely looking device.
Very nice indeed. So pop along to Classifieds or email
me
if you're not in Classifieds, and we'll talk about you joining. Okay, I think that's about it now. A quick plug for Nomad Tech Project, which Sam and Joe do most Sundays, unless it's Mother's Day in America. And so don't look for one from last night, but that is there as well. Phoneshowchat.uk is our website with two S's in the middle. Everything is listed also at Podhub UK, but it's also at tedsalmon.com. All of our audio podcasts and all of our MeWe groups are linked out there. And if you want to buy me a coffee, you can do that. It's at paypal.me/TedSalmon. And if you want to buy Joe one, it's at paypal.me/Hickey85. Phew. Anything else to say, Joe?
Nope, I think we've said enough this week.
Okay, thanks very much for joining us, Jim, again. And we'll talk about moving around all this stuff when we're off the air later. We'll look forward to your next visit coming down. And I shall be feeding back on your keyboard in due course. So thanks, everyone, for listening. And we'll be back again next week, by the looks of it, with an in-betweeny to get mopped up with some of this stuff that we need to mop up. But after that, in the next scheduled show, which is on the 25th of May, we've got Mark Mockin joining us, who is the person who does lots of lovely photography in the group. So we'll be looking forward to that with Mark. But that's about it. So, as I say, thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next Monday with another one. Bye for now.